Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Aaron Torres in for Harmon tonight. And a couple of updates coming your way before we get into a big breaking story out of the National Football League that Brian Fenley told us about last hour. Right now, 28-14, Bucks with the lead over the Eagles midway through the fourth quarter. The Bucks have been rolling throughout this game. Eagles got close with a touchdown a few minutes ago. But right now, during a timeout, they have a first down at Philadelphia's 46-yard line. Again, still up by two touchdowns. And one more score would just about put this one away. Meanwhile, Dodgers and the Giants. We have first blood. It has been drawn by L.A. Mookie Betts. Base hit, stolen base, comes around on Corey Seager's looping double to left field. The Giants get out of the rest of the inning without giving up anything else, but the Dodgers dent the scoreboard first. They lead San Francisco 1-0. And for Mookie Betts tonight, who is 3-for-3 with a run scored, I think I know going through every Dodgers fan mind right now is he's worth every penny. Every penny we gave, we got Mookie Betts. He did it for us in the World Series. He's doing it for us now. I am so glad we paid Mookie Betts. There is not one Dodger fan going, but he was worth a lot of money and we could lose this game. No. They're all saying, oh my God, I'm so glad we paid Mookie Betts. Every single Dodger fan is saying that right now.
You can't put the I always crack up about, in basketball when, you trade for Anthony Davis or you trade for, look at all the draft picks. Look at all the draft picks the Clippers gave up for Kawhi and Paul George. It's like, yeah, and what's the alternative? Run it back with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Patrick Beverley as your two best players? Like, no, you got a chance to get Kawhi. You got a chance to get Anthony Davis. You got a chance to get Mookie Betts. You do it. You don't ask how much it costs as long as you're not blowing up the entire thing. And he was obviously awesome in the World Series run last year, and he has been awesome this postseason as well.
It really is something. I mean, you talk about a trade that I don't want to say jump-started the Dodgers because, look, this is a team that is winning the NL West every year basically for a decade. Look, they came a game short this year. But that it's kind of like a dynasty they have going on here, and it's no signs of slowing down. And, yes, a lot of it is the players that come up from the minors. They all seem to play well, right? Here comes, who's Max Muncy? And now the guy's going to wind up being a top finisher for MVP, right? Will Smith has turned into one of the best top three catchers in Major League Baseball. This is a guy, nobody knew who he was a couple of years ago. Gavin Lux coming up and playing center field. And then all these guys coming up, Bellinger came up through the system, becoming MVP, even though he stinks this year. All these guys have come up and played well, but it's those moves you make in free agency when you hit on one that can push you for another 5 years. And Mookie Betts is one of those. He gives you another 5 years of this dynasty because of his overall level of play, both at bat and in the field. Whenever there's a big game the Dodgers seem to have, he's the guy that always comes up with a big game, right? And sometimes it's Bellinger. Sometimes it's Justin Turner. But it's always Mookie Betts. And it's always things like a stolen base where you have to have it, where you're moving from second to third on a ground out where not everybody else would do it and a run comes across. A diving catch in the outfield when you absolutely have to have it. Watching him play the last couple of years, I almost feel like he's having like a Derek Jeter type impact on the Dodgers, where sometimes I watch Jeter and I thought, this is the best player I've ever seen play the game. The big pressure moments, he would always make the right play, whether it's hitting behind the runner, getting the runner in with a base hit, whenever it was a home run that was needed, whatever was needed, Derek Jeter would do. And I kind of see that's kind of where Mookie Betts has been. You're talking about a guy who's the best shortstop I've seen in 30 years, and Derek Jeter. And for Mookie Betts to be that kind of guy, that's the kind of impact he's kind of having with the Dodgers right now.
I love that analogy. I love that analogy because that is exactly the vibe that I got watching them, last postseason and obviously the start of this postseason. I mean, I remember he had a home run saving catch. He came up with all these big hits. I actually put out a tweet that went crazy viral and I got yelled and screamed at by people. What I said was, I believe that he is to LA what LeBron will always want to be and never be. You know, he came in to the Lakers as a mercenary. He won a championship, but he's not a Laker. And Lakers fans, it'll always be about Kobe. It'll always be about a lot of people before LeBron. Mookie Betts was the opposite. They were already a championship team. The team was built for many years. He put them over the top. I think he is going to go down as an icon in Los Angeles.
I mean, really, that you talk about the right signing, because it's hard. You know, you give a guy, you know, $300 million, you're wondering, is he the right guy? Like right now, the Mets are going, we gave Lindor $300 million. Mm-hmm. Is he really the right guy? That's a lot of money to give him. No, they gave it to Betts, and it's, okay, what are we going to get? Nope, we're going to get it from Mookie Betts, and he is that kind of player. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Aaron Torres in for Harmon tonight, but it is now tied in San Francisco, as Roof has gone deep over Urias to dead center field. That ties the game at one apiece. So all this great stuff we're saying about Mookie Betts, not that it goes out the window, but now instead of the Dodgers protecting a one-run lead, the Dodgers have tied it here. A leadoff batter in the bottom of the sixth inning has put the Giants on the board. It is now 1-1. We will have more on this game coming up and more on the Bucks and Eagles as well. Bucks are now in scoring range. Listen, a score here is going to put this game away, but we will see how this continues on. Now, meanwhile, a big story out of the National Football League, and this is why I said last night and the last couple nights, AT, that, look, the NFL is never going to release these emails that everybody wants to see, part of the investigation of the Washington Football Team. Are they going to be able to get the information, the 650,000 back and forth about bad behavior from the NFL, whatever else is under wraps? Poor John Gruden. Oh, boy, the guy can't be racist and misogynistic and homophobic. Oh, look, he winds up getting found out. The last couple nights I told you, look, the NFL is never going to release these emails because what is in there, I'm sure, is so incredibly damaging. And the NFL, the one thing they have done for 20 years now under Roger Goodell is they have been able to say, here's a scandal, we're throwing cold water on it when we can. And sometimes stuff gets out and we have to deal with it. But for the most part, when we can stop a scandal, we stop it. And this is why they're never going to release these emails, because this story tonight from the New York Times. Jeff Pash, you've probably heard his name. Maybe you know who he is, but if you haven't, it's okay. He is one of the top lawyers in the National Football League, right? He's been around a long time. He is their executive vice president, general counsel. So basically that means he's a big deal. Emails have been surfaced, have been put out by the New York Times about what Jeff Pash has emailed back and forth with Bruce Allen, with others, over the course of the 8-year investigation that the NFL was looking at emails to in their investigation of the Washington Football Team and their culture that they had when they had women bring charges against them for bad behavior. And what happened is Jeff Pash, now it's found out by the New York Times, that he had a cozy relationship with Bruce Allen, president of the Washington Football Team, that he and Allen helped broker penalties, discussed a cheerleading scandal, arranged perks, and had some disparaging remarks when it came to Latinos. One of the big statements out there was in regards to music or the national anthem being attracting Latino fans, and he responded in an email by telling Bruce Allen, I don't think this song or these songs you're going to put out to try to attack Latino fans, I don't think they'll be as popular after the wall gets built, referring to President Trump's wall that he wanted to build between the United States and Mexico. So this is why we're not going to get anything out, because this is how embarrassing this is going to be for the NFL. And if you think it's just like one story or two stories, it's hundreds of stories. Now, if you got 650,000 emails, we wouldn't be able to keep them all straight, because there would be so many things. We'd find out all the dirty laundry of the National Football League. And I guarantee the NFL is on all kinds of damage control right now, trying to go, okay, we got to stop this. How is the New York Times getting all this? How do they have this? We got to throw this down right now. This is why the NFL's not going to release this, because this is the kind of trouble that you're going to see. And it's stuff the NFL, it's the worst things for the NFL to get to come out. Hey, that there were cozy relationships that helped broker penalties between the league and an executive. Oh, I'm not down with that. Wait, you're disparaging Latinos in an email? Ooh, I'm not down with that. We're looking at hiring practices? Ooh, I'm not down with that. This is a far cry from, hey, so-and-so is mad that they got fined $200,000 for this and we told them to, you know, beat it. These are moral values and moral situations that you're finding the NFL is going to be found corrupt in and morally bankrupt. That's why they're not going to come out with this, because something like this, even though you don't know Jeff Pasch's name, it doesn't matter.
Well, it was really funny the way that you framed it about, you know, just the tip of the iceberg. I made this analogy yesterday is going back, you know, everybody knows I love college hoops. You know, that FBI scandal that happened 3, 4, 5 years ago, the FBI got on this podium and made this big speech about, you know, we're coming for you. We have your playbook. And it all kind of just disappeared. And, you know, the speculation is that some pretty powerful people got involved, because if the FBI really did go after everybody in college basketball basically wouldn't exist anymore if they really went after everybody. And that's kind of what I feel like with this email situation is, you talk about 650,000 emails over the course of a decade plus. There's a lot of important people that have correspondence in there that are not going to make them look good. So I'm with you. I don't think this gets released, but I've said since the day all this started back on Monday night, now, you know, I know it started Friday, but Monday night was when stuff went crazy. If you thought John Gruden was the only one talking that way, if you thought John Gruden was sending those emails out into the ether without getting responses very similar to them, and now obviously we have some pretty highly ranked officials that you know, came out this evening. As you said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's only going to get crazier, and I'll be curious if we ever find out where this leak came from, and if we don't, how many more leaks there are over the course of the coming weeks.
You know, I wonder, and look, this is now, there's a lot of nervous people who are like, what did I email Bruce Allen, you know, over the course of the 7 years? Because, look, Bruce Allen is not somebody that had the greatest relationship with a lot of people. It wasn't like, oh, he was a great NFL executive and people loved him. Nah, Bruce Allen had a very polarizing reputation as a GM in the league. And how many people now are going, oh, man, now that it looks like Bruce Allen is the focus of this, because it's emails to him that have done in John Gruden. It's emails to him that is going to wind up doing in Jeff Pasch, because, look, he's going to wind up being fired as NFL's lead counsel. So there'll be an opening for that. If you have a law degree, send your application to the NFL. So now clearly it's becoming, okay, it's the communication that we've had with Bruce Allen. He's the guy that you got to worry about. So if you said anything bad to Bruce Allen in a 7-year period there, that's the people that really have to worry. And I guarantee you there are so many people who are worried. And now it's just a matter of, do you roll the dice and hope that this is something that doesn't get out, or do you try to get in front of it? It's really, really difficult, because you have to feel that, okay, if the Bruce Allen emails are what people have, do they have mine? Do they have this? Do they feel that this was relevant enough to go forward with? That's a really big deal. And I wonder just how they're going to go forward, because once you decide to go down the road of, okay, I'm just going to hope that nothing gets out, boy, that's a long time to sit around and go and get on your email every day and go, anything happen? Anything happen? Anything happen? That's a tough way to live life, AT.
Well, I'm telling you, there's just, I can't even imagine the number of people. I mean, dozens of, like, very important people in the NFL, names we know, probably owners, probably GMs, probably coaches, maybe, who knows? 650,000 emails, the course of a decade. The number of people that are sitting around right now just thinking, man, oh man, oh man. And I would also go back and say this, you know, I know it sounded like a great idea when the NFL said, we're going to conduct this big investigation. I understand why they did. I understand what was going on behind the scenes with the Washington football team. But, you know, you think you're not going to, you think you're going to do a thorough investigation that involves 10 years worth of scrubbing emails and looking through them email by email, and you're not going to come up with some sketchy stuff. So I'm just so fascinated where this goes, because the leaks continue to come, more names get involved. I mean, again, we've talked about it, but Gruden on Monday, Schefter yesterday, this guy today, this thing is just going to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, until, as you said, unless the NFL plugs the leak or something. And I'm just fascinated who's going to be next.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Aaron at Aaron underscore Torres, the Jason Smith Show with Aaron Torres in for Mike Harmon. Again, this is a brand new breaking story that Brian Fenley brought us about 30 minutes ago, and we'll continue to have more on this throughout the night, because now suddenly this is taking the direction of away from John Gruden. Now, okay, now we're going to go get other people, apparently, as long as you send an email to Bruce Allen. If you've not sent an email to Bruce Allen in the last 10 years, I think you're okay. AT, did you ever send an email to Bruce Allen in the last
You what's funny is I'm not as plugged in the NFL as I am in other circles, other sports circles. I had that thought this week of like, do I know any, is there any way an email I sent got to someone in the NFL that got to the former Redskins, now football team? To answer your question, I don't believe that I've ever emailed Bruce Allen, but if you never hear me on these airwaves again, if my mic gets cut here in the next couple hours, we'll find the answer to that. I'm just saying. I mean, I don't think so. I could say with 99% certainty, but listen, we sent a lot of emails to a lot of random people, and we work in sports, so I think I'm safe, Jason Smith, but okay. I don't really know that I am, to be honest.
Alex Teicher, are you okay? Did you send an email to Bruce Allen in the last 10 years?
I think I might have asked him if he wanted guacamole when he ordered a burrito once when I was working somewhere, but I think that's it.
Well, okay, he definitely responded inappropriate to that one. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
My goodness.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Aaron Torres in for Mike Harmon tonight.
Oh.
Well, one of the big games is done. The other one is about as tense as it could possibly be. Right now, the Dodgers batting in the top of the seventh inning, game five of their opening NLDS series against the Giants. And this is tied at one apiece. Now, I don't ask for much, Aaron Torres. I really don't. You know, I don't ask for much. But
you're about to ask for something.
But am I asking for too much? Am I asking for too much? And am I showing bias at all for anything? If I say what I really want is for the Dodgers to have a one-run lead going to the bottom of the ninth inning and Kenley Jansen coming in to protect it. Because there's nothing that is more stressful and anxiety-ridden than Jansen trying to close out the ninth inning of a big game. I mean, really, I say it all the time. I don't know how Dodger fans watch the ninth inning of big games when Jansen pitches. And if I could just have that, I feel like I'd be doing the sports world the biggest favor I could tonight. You got anxiety-ridden, upset stomachs throughout the world, nervousness. Is he going to hold on? Is he not? Is he going to win it? Is he not? I think that's what we all deserve tonight here on a Thursday.
Well, if you like drama, I mean, you know, and it was funny because I was on air with Jason Martin last Saturday following the Red River Shootout, and we were on during that great Texas A&M Alabama game. And I said to Jason, I said, you know, listen, what we do, Jason, we are very, very, very lucky, okay? It goes without saying. But we watch a lot of bad sports to get to the good games, the stuff that matters. We had to get through a lot of Giants Washington football team on Thursday Night Football to get to the games that matter here over the last couple weeks. And so I bring it up to say, if we're going to have a deciding game in the playoffs, sorry Ryan Bershinger, the Dodgers fan here, but let's make it as entertaining as possible. I don't want 7-1 and we have nothing to talk about. I want drama. I want intrigue. And yes, Kenley Jansen, one of the shakiest relivers in recent baseball history. I have no objection to him being on the mound in the ninth. I'm not a Dodgers fan. I don't really care. I just want the intrigue. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it doesn't. No, of course it doesn't. Look, I think sweating Jansen, like, we could really get that trending. And it's like, it sounds like the name of a band.
But I really, it does.
You just type in sweating Jansen on Twitter. It's like, yes, we're sweating Jansen. I think every Dodger game should come down to the ninth. In fact, here's what you need. Here's how you save everything, right? People say baseball is too long. Look, this is going to be a 7.5 hour game, right? The playoffs is too much. It's on and out. There's not enough action. No. You start every Dodger game in the bottom of the ninth inning or the top of the ninth inning, you know, home and away, and they have a one-run lead, and Jansen has to be able to protect it. That should be how every game goes. And then you don't need anything else, right? You charge all your advertising money into you get commercials in, you know, before the inning and everything. Oh, you can throw them in between pitches. You can put them in there for you. Oh, but that's where every Dodger game, forget about nine innings. No, just a half inning, and it's Kenley Jansen trying to hold on to a one-run lead. And if he holds on to it, they win. And if he gives up, a run, you keep playing. And if he gives up, obviously gives up two runs, and you're the home team, you wind up losing. I think that's a big way to help help people who aren't baseball fans get into loving baseball.
This reminds me of, remember when LeBron made 8 straight NBA finals, and for a while there we were just like, just send him to a new team every year and see if he can make the finals. Just every year. Let's just see. Let's ship him to Utah. Let's see if he can get the Jazz. That's kind of what that sounds like here. Forget the intrigue of the 9 innings and the buildup and the drama. No, let's just get straight to the drama. Let's forget the appetizer entree and let's get straight to the dessert. That's basically what you're telling me, Jason Smith.
Oh, no. I love that, because then we could have the argument of, well, all right, he got the Knicks to the second round when he was 25. He could only get the Jazz, but he's 34, and that's older. I think the Jazz really got screwed by not getting him earlier. Oh, no, I was big on that idea. I like that.
See, that's the battered Knicks fan in you. We're talking about all these finals appearances, and you're like, yeah, if we could just get to the second round, that'd be great. Yeah. LeBron, second round? Sign me up. Sorry, bud.
I'm happy where we're at right now. We're going to be really good this year, man.
Those are my guys.
People are sleeping on us, man.
Those are Torres guys. You know, I've known Emmanuel quickly since he was about 16 years old. I said he would be really good. I can't believe we're talking Knicks here on all this stuff.
But I've
known Emmanuel for a long time. Great kid. I knew he was going to be a professional, do what he needs to do. Obi Toppin, I loved coming out. I probably would have taken him number 2 overall behind LaMelo Ball. But I only bring it up to say, now you add Miles McBride. I know we're nerding out on young Knicks players here. I like also, by the way, I don't know if you have the Bucks game on, but they're doing the jersey swap in the background while they're interviewing Leonard Fournette. So that's pretty cool. You got two guys ripping off their pads, they appear to be praying, and now they're about to hand off jerseys. So.
Oh, and they're going to sign them too for each other. Look at that. It's nice. Yeah. Vita Vey. Yeah, he's going to sign a jersey. They're going to exchange.
I told you. There you go.
Look, they're writing on the ground like it's the last day of camp. Hey, can I have your phone number? I'll call you. Maybe we'll hang out. There's a big weekend next weekend. It was a 3-day weekend. We can go hang out. Yeah, here's my phone number. Here's that. Oh, no, that's pretty cool. I just saw that there.
Yes, and Aaron Andrews just got in on the jersey swap action. I don't know what exactly. She was posing for some kind of picture, which, whatever. She's a professional. She's allowed to do what she wants. But I don't know if you caught that one, too.
I think Fournette is posing with his own jersey. I swear to God,
no,
I think he's posting with his own. He's posing with his own jersey,
and he
I don't
signed
know
it
if he,
too.
I signed my own jersey, and I'm going to hold it up in front of me.
See it all.
Oh,
what did
great.
I tell you? You watch enough games, you see just about everything.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming off this game tonight, we got more on Tom Brady and the Bucks coming up in about 10 minutes. This is the one big question that the Bucks have to answer. Look, they win this game. They were never really in danger. The Eagles get a touchdown to make it close, but the Bucks kill the clock with a drive that ends at the Eagles' 5-yard line, and with 2 minutes left to go in the game, they kneeled on the football, and they win this game 28-22. Now, again, we'll get more on Brady and the Bucks in a second, but Jalen Hurts for a few minutes here, because he's one of the most intriguing players in the National Football League. Now, he didn't have a great night tonight stat-wise, right? He threw for a 115, but he did run for 44 yards and 2 touchdowns. He threw for a touchdown. He is a really skilled quarterback, and he's playing on a team that doesn't really have any weapons, right? They can't really run the football that well outside of him. It's almost like if you had Lamar Jackson playing on a really, really bad team, this is kind of what it would look like. But Jalen Hurts has such unique skill set, and he is a really talented quarterback. And for some reason, the Eagles are just lukewarm on him. Like, we've seen the way they've gone about their business the entire offseason into the season. We want Jalen to earn the job. Well, wait a minute. This guy's pretty good. He was pretty good when he came in those last 4 games last season. But for whatever reason, he's just not the Eagles' cup of tea. And you can tell that they are dying to get a new quarterback in that's a franchise guy and do things over like they did it with Carson Wentz. If I need a quarterback and my team is pretty decent, I call the Eagles for Jalen Hurts because you know they want to move him. You know he's not going to cost a lot because they invested a second-round pick in him. Let's say you give a first-round pick for a quarterback. Okay, great. You give a first-round pick for a quarterback. That works pretty well. He's still on a rookie deal for the next couple of years. It works. We'll give you a first-round pick. Not a high first-round pick, but a pick in like the 20s or the late 20s. Yeah, that would work. And the Eagles can then go use that to try to move up and get whatever quarterback they want because clearly they're not sold on Hurts being their guy. But I'm telling you, in the offseason, there's going to be lots of teams looking for quarterbacks, as there are, and Jalen Hurts is a really good player. You know, the talent that he has is very similar to Lamar Jackson. Again, not quite as good, can't throw quite as good, but with more reps, he'll become a pretty good quarterback, a better guy throwing from the pocket. It took Lamar Jackson a little while to be able to have games where he's throwing for 400 yards like he did on Monday. But I really like Jalen Hurts, and if the Eagles don't want him, a smart team is going to say, yes, we'll take him, and we're going to surround him with other weapons, and not where he's got to worry about, like, Quez Watkins is the only guy to throw the football to, which is really nobody, and the only guy he can hand the ball off to is Miles Sanders, which is not like turning and handing it off to Christian McCaffrey or Ezekiel Elliott or someone like that. Someone smart's going to come up, and they're going to say, you don't want Jalen Hurts, we'll take him, and you watch what he does on a team with a lot of weapons. He will be a phenomenal quarterback.
Well, what's so interesting is the way you just laid it out, Jason, is, you know, you say they didn't really invest much in a second-round pick. They still did invest a second-round pick when they thought that they had their franchise quarterback. And so if you're questioning Carson Wentz, then you would think that you would go out and get a guy that you believe can replace him. But then last year plays out, they give Carson Wentz every opportunity to keep the job, and every week he gets a little bit worse. And as you said, Jalen Hurts comes in and plays well down the stretch. Win-loss record isn't reflected in it. But again, it's because of the lack of talent basically at every position on the offensive side of the football. And so that's the weird part to me in all this, Jason, is, you know, why are you using a second round pick to draft someone that is not Carson Wentz if it is not somebody that you believe in? Because if it's just about Carson Wentz can't stay healthy, we don't know if, you know, how healthy he'll be, we need somebody as an insurance policy, those guys always come up. I mean, there's always an Andy Dalton available. There's always a, you know, Nick Foles available, whoever. And so that's the part that's kind of strange to me, is you think that if you invest a second round pick in somebody, you kind of have faith in him, but as you just laid out, it does not appear as though Philly does with Jalen Hurts.
No, and look, part of it is you when you have a new coach comes in, he wants his own guy, you know, new decision makers. Unless you are inheriting a quarterback that is already established and, hey, look, this guy's a star, you just got to make it work, you want your own guy. And Jalen Hurts came in, and certainly he had potential because I liked what he did the end of last year when he came in. Without a lot of reps, he was a really big talent. He's a difficult guy to defend. And then the Eagles made the change, and they went away from Peterson, and now here comes Nick Sirianni. And, yeah, he's going to want his own guy in there. He's like, okay, you know what? Yes, I want my own guy. And new head coaches always want their own guy. And some team is going to get really lucky because they're going to be able to get him, and they're going to put him in a position to succeed, and it's going to be, wow, look at the numbers he put up. He'll be the next version of Lamar Jackson. He will be that guy. Now, is he going to be as good? Hey, there's only one Lamar Jackson, but he's got that kind of talent, man. I'm not going to be surprised when he becomes that player, and it's going to happen, and fans and the media are going to go, boy, didn't know he could be that good. Well, yeah, if you actually do stuff and put him in position to say, hey, okay, here's some guys to throw to and not just a bunch of Jags, yeah, that's how it turns out.
It's just, and it's fascinating. And the thing is, too, I mean, you know, it's not as much right now, but there are so many wins to be had in that division that it's like, just, you know, just go all in with this guy. You beat Carolina last week, and you know, you kind of bounce back. And so it's just a bizarre situation there. And it's obviously a bizarre division as well. But I don't know. It is weird to me, like you said, is that this is a guy that won at Bama. I understand Tua took the job, but he goes to Oklahoma, has success there, comes in, does what's asked of him, is patient, bides his time. When his number is called, he performs last year when Carson Wentz goes down. We hear about all the drama with Carson Wentz. And so, like you said, I hope he gets a fair shot in Philly, because he's really, frankly, the only reason to watch that team outside of, obviously, Devontae Smith emerging over the last couple weeks. But on top of that, if they decide to go in another direction in this draft or in somewhere else, I do think that there is going to be plenty of opportunity for him somewhere else, and maybe he gets a fresh start somewhere. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because obviously it's a long season ahead, but I don't know, man. I do think that your point is well taken in that it feels like they don't really believe in him. They aren't fully invested in him. They're not kind of really letting him loose until they're down late in these games, and he's a really talented player.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Aaron at Aaron_Torres, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, AT in for Harmon tonight. Dodgers and Giants 1-1 in the top of the eighth inning, and my wish is coming true. Kenley Jansen warming up for the Dodgers. He's only had one appearance in the last 7 days, so we may get 2 innings of Jansen tonight. We could be sweating Jansen for 2 innings, Aaron Torres. Oh, it's
I'm
awesome.
In. I told you, if we get to watch all these games, I want drama, especially in a game five, you know, deciding game in a playoff series.
Mm. Dodgers have a runner on with one out in the top of the eighth inning, so we'll keep you updated on that. But coming up next, the Buccaneers win again on Thursday Night Football. What's the only thing that can stop Tom Brady and company right now? I'll tell you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you what it is. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, who is off tonight. Aaron Torres, my second best friend, who is in tonight for Mike Harmon.
You know, we've had that conversation before. I'm your second best friend, and I will contend the second best friend is always the best role to be in because, like I told you, you're at a wedding, best man. That's a lot of responsibility. You hold the rings, you help with this, you do that, you track down that. The second best friend just gets to sit around and drink all day and have fun. So I like it. I'm not saying if you get remarried that Mike Harmon is definitively your best man. I'm just saying being number two is pretty good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because the responsibility is only very slight. Like, it's like, hey, can you come through once? Not like every day. Like, you need the best friend to
hey,
do.
Hey,
like,
can
the best friend's
got
to come through a lot.
Yes. Hey, can you just show up at this time on the wedding day, and that's literally all you need to do, and take like 4 pictures. So, it's great. It's a great gig. And I'm also honored to be your second best friend. It's a privilege.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice. Hey, we've been rocking here the first 2 hours of the show. Got another 2 hours left to go. At some point, we'll be breaking down a incredible, nerve-wracking Game 5 NLDS right now. The Dodgers have runners at first and second, two out in the bottom of the eighth inning. Pitching change in San Francisco. Mookie Betts now 4-for-4 on the night for the Dodgers with a base hit that's put runners on with two outs. We'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes. Again, we're at a pitching change in at the top of the eighth inning, and it looks like Kenley Jansen is just moments away from entering. We'll be sweating Jansen. But tonight, the Bucs beat the Eagles 28-22, and you're going to get your fair share of people who say, oh, the Bucs didn't have a great effort. How good are they? Anytime you're playing a short week, a win is a win. It doesn't matter where it is, how it is. When you're playing on Thursday night, things get sloppy. And, yeah, was this the best night for the Buccaneers? No, but they still scored 28 points. Brady threw for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Leonard Fournette got on track with 81 yards on the ground and a couple of scores. So, you know, it turned out okay. Right? They win the game. The only difficulty I see for them right now, Aaron, is that they're a veteran team. And here they are through 5 weeks, and they've played great, right? And it's really hard to stop their offense. Their defense is really good. The only concern for them right now, for the defending champs, is that can they keep this up all the way to the end of the season? Because this is a veteran team at a lot of positions, not just quarterback. You know, you're talking about tight end, wide receiver, Antonio Brown, defensive line, Richard Sherman, who left the game tonight with an injury, Sue, JPP, Levante David. Productivity, stamina, and injury issues are all things that happen to teams that are a little bit long in the tooth. And things are great now. It's the early part of the season. Everybody is still fresh. But when you get to the later parts of the season, the older players don't stay healthy. They don't always stay as effective. They get old overnight. And that's the only thing that I can see slowing down Tampa Bay right now, because they're firing everywhere. You know, they're firing on all cylinders, right? They're scoring every week, no matter who it is. Look, you had Antonio Brown had a big night tonight. So did O.J. Howard, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. So did Leonard Fournette, who caught six balls out of the backfield. They have so many weapons. But as time goes on, if you get a couple of key injuries or suddenly a couple of guys aren't as effective as they were the first 6 weeks, that's the big thing. Now, again, you're talking about, oh, I hope a team gets old is the only way I can stop them. But that's really where it's at right now with Tampa Bay. They are playing at such a high level. They'd be favored against anybody they play right now in the NFC. They had one bad game, and it really wasn't that bad a game. The only way the Bucs get stopped right now is if suddenly they sort of self-destruct for those issues, because they are a veteran team.
Well, and, you know, the age could catch up with them. By the way, Jason, I mentioned this in hour one, is – you know, the idea that basically, you know, there could be a scenario, as you said, injuries pile up, plus the road in the NFC is so tough and they're probably not going to get the number one seed. Have you looked at their schedule? They might literally have one game left on the schedule against a team that's going to make the playoffs, the Buffalo Bills. They play the Saints. They play the NFC East, which means Washington and the Giants are still on their schedule. Indianapolis, which is terrible. The Falcons stink. They're playing them. They got a lot of bad on their schedule, Jason Smith. And so I just look at this to say, in hour one, I said, well, you know, once they get to the play, even if when they get there, there's the Rams and there's the Packers and the Cardinals look good. They might end up, if you look at this schedule, if they can stay healthy, to your point, they might end up as that number one seed with that first round bye. They do not have a lot of meat left on the bone of this schedule.
No, they're going to be favored in every game they play, most likely. Now, maybe they're not favored against the Bills if the Bills continue to win at the level they have, but that's a home game. So every other game, they're going to be favored in. They should be able to win almost every other game. Now, are they going to? No, there's probably be times here and there where they don't come up with a great effort, and who knows where that's going to be. But that game against the Bills, that's going to be it. So, you know, for Tampa, getting that home field, you don't want to have to go on the road and play in the cold, because that's where Brady has trouble throwing the football. That's one of the things why he's at the Fountain of Youth in Tampa. Oh, as long as I don't have to play in real cold weather at the end of the season, I'm going to be fine. And he's not really going to have to, unless you get to the playoffs and suddenly it's okay. It's Green Bay. It's these places. But, yeah, that's the only issue I see for Tampa right now, is that if their age affects them the later parts of the season. Twitter at How About a Fresco. Mike gets swollen dome, and Aaron is at Aaron_Torres. Want to get your emails in throughout the night tonight. We'll have more on this game coming up next. The big secret weapon for the Bucks isn't really who you think it's going to be. Plus, are we going to be sweating Jansen with the Dodgers and the Giants? Keep it right here. This is Fox.